Welcome to Relation Fix, the podcast dedicated to creating healthy, happy, and passionate connections with our loved ones. I'm Shayna Dubay, your host. Let's dive in. Hey, everyone. Welcome to a bonus episode of Relation Fix. As you all know, I decided to have the podcast go bi-weekly, so every other week, with sometimes some little bonus episodes in here. We did last week, if you listened, we did an episode on our physical body and our relationship with that. We had a lot of responses to the question that we posted on social media about what you feel about your body. And Frank and I decided that it would be a really good idea to talk about what everyone had to say, because you guys were so vulnerable and so open and willing to share your stories. And there was a lot of really interesting dialogue around what we think about our bodies. And I really thought that it would be great to give you guys airtime and to not only encourage you to continue to be vulnerable and open in this sometimes scary world, but also to thank you for your willingness to engage with us around these really important topics on the podcast. So, of course, I had to bring Frank back again.
You did say Frank and I, hello.
I did say Frank and I.
but I figured, you know, we started this journey together about the physical body episode. We might as well conclude it together.
Yeah, totally. And Frank very graciously posts the podcast question onto his page as well. So we get a lot of really interesting responses from his followers as well.
Well, we have different, both of us have different audiences as well. So it's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, even if someone else also posted it that was completely different from us, it's interesting what each community of people have to say about the topics.
Yes. And the more we see other perspectives, the better it is for us, I think. Because sometimes we can get really stuck in what we think is right or what we think one perspective is. And so I love to bring in alternating perspectives on things. So,
well, I think it's something that everyone can kind of come together on.
Yeah. So I appreciate you being here.
Oh, well, thank you.
Thank you. So literally this episode is just going to be comments, and we're going to have like a brief discussion, maybe longer than brief on some of them, knowing us, on each one. And so that we can have a little bit more discussion around this area. So I'd like to start with a comment from Tara Y. She says, "Your podcast is not long enough for my list of complaints. I hate it," meaning her body. "Throw me in the trash. I've been told I have a big forehead, broad linebacker shoulders, and my hair wasn't as good as straight hair." This was kind of an intense comment for me because I've known Tara for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's pretty common for us to have things about our physical body that we don't like.
Oh, definitely.
Or that we would want to change. But to say, you know, throw me in the trash, I would never do that. She's actually a really interesting and fun and cool person.
It's definitely a comment that we don't want to hear people that we care about say, but it's easier for us to tell ourselves that and not have that same compassion for.
Yeah. I really think that I feel, if I had to pick a feeling, like, it feels devastating to me to hear anyone really kind of say that about themselves. And I think it also is sort of reflective. I know in our podcast originally about the physical body, we talked about how we had those times where we had a lot of self-hate and looked at ourselves with very critical eyes. And so I can see how she is still in that space in her life. And it sort of reminds me of how it used to be for me. And I've known her for many years. She has really beautiful eyes. She has nice skin. She has really cool hair, no matter what people said about that. She has a really cool, fun sense of style. She's part Jamaican. But on a higher note, on a different level, like, it doesn't matter what she looks like. Her body is not something that needs to be hated or apologized for. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful vessel for life. And it reminds me of this quote by Sonya Renee Taylor. I know we talked a little bit about her in the original podcast, but she said, every time you call truce with your body, you interrupt a system of violence and power that profits off of your self-hate. And I really think about that. I really think about how there's a system set up in our country that profits off of us hating ourselves and distracting us from the things that really matter. And I feel devastated by her comment. It's a tough one for me. And I remember what it feels like to be in that space. So, Tara, you're amazing. Don't talk like that or I'm going to come over there. Just kidding. But seriously, though, like, I hate towards your body will only break down your body. It's there for you every single day. I heard this quote once that said, whenever you feel bad, just remember you have trillions of cells in your body that have given their life for you. And I think that's really true. That's a deep one. That's one that kind of hits me hard. I feel like it's not as many words. It's more of a feeling space. I wish you guys could like feel what it feels like inside me right now. Maybe not. It might not be enjoyable. Okay, that went in a different way than I was expecting, but like...
I'm really happy I didn't make that comment. There would have been messages blowing up.
Right. Oh my God.
I want to feel inside you.
Listen, Frank, you don't need any more attention. No, I can't.
I don't until I do.
Right? Oh my gosh. So our next comment is going to come from Frank's page.
Yeah. So we'll probably just go back and forth between them. So this is from Malachi M, which thank you for your comment. We've talked, our history is a little brief, but we've talked a good amount through social media and stuff. He's a good guy. So he says, yeah, I used to weigh 220 when I was a kid. And you can say being gay didn't help that issue. So I always feel fat, but I don't starve myself. I just feel bad and eat more. But it's definitely weird because I can see I'm not fat in the picture, but at the same time, I can see myself fat in the picture.
Mm-hmm. He definitely describes that sort of continued mental space that happens. Like, we always think, oh, if my physical body looks a certain way, I'm going to feel a certain way.
Oh, exactly.
But that doesn't always happen because even though they're connected, you can still look at yourself and see that you've lost weight and still be hypercritical or vice versa. Like, you could have an amazing body or look really, really good and still pick yourself apart. That there is a difference and we don't see ourselves in that space of reality all the time.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, we saw the picture on there and he doesn't look fat to me.
No, this experience is definitely a little bit relatable to my own where I was around the same amount of weight and then I lost a lot, but I still was seeing, like, for example, my legs still looked fat even though they weren't. And that kind of goes back into the last comment that we read too, where we see certain things about ourselves that may seem off or bad, quote, but then anyone else outside of our own perception would be like, what are you talking about? Like, you look perfectly fine.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny because I think about this all the time is like, I mean, I'm probably going to botch this quote up. Apparently, this is also a quote episode. So a lot of those. But it was something like, you would never care what other people think about you if you realized how little they do.
Yeah.
And it's not because like people don't care about you. It's because people are spending all this time thinking about themselves and judging themselves and like thinking about all those things. Like, look at all these comments that we got where people are talking about their body and what they think about. So it's not like I've never looked at someone else and thought something about them, but I spend the vast majority of my time thinking about how I take up space.
That kind of helped me with the whole like going to the gym type of thing and feeling that nervousness because, oh, everyone's staring at me and everyone cares about what I look like or they're judging me, when in reality, most of us are so consumed with our own progress, our own work that we're doing.
Absolutely.
That it's not even, it's like most likely no one's even really paying attention.
I couldn't agree more. So clearly he has some mental work that has to happen.
Yeah.
And that space. And I don't know if he's working with a therapist. I think, you know, that could potentially help. Therapists are kind of like shoes. Like, you have to sometimes try on a couple of pairs before you find the one you like.
I'm telling mine that. that's a good analogy.
So working as a therapist, I can say that because it's not always a fit. You know, sometimes you can't find the right one right away. But there are other ways to do that kind of work. But he clearly has, you know, some negative thought patterns that haven't been broken, even though his body is transformed. So now he has to bring his mind and spirit probably up to
it sounds like there's the same level. There's some self-awareness there at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and he acknowledges, like, I can see that I'm not fat, but I feel like I'm fat. Yeah. Like I see that I'm not fat, but I see that I'm fat.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how that judgment has such difficulty. Sometimes it's so much harder to bring your head with you into, you know, a new place or a new transition.
It's just, yeah, it's a, I don't know, like, I don't know exactly what his story was growing up, but mm-hmm. it's like sometimes when certain things are imprinted, mm-hmm. it's, or like certain patterns are developed, it takes some time to break them.
It's interesting because I say this to my clients all the time that you have to let go of the person that you became in order to become the person you're going to be.
That's hard.
Oh, it's really hard because a lot of times, like, we work really hard to become something else, but we have to let go of the person that we used to be. It's like a constant transformation.
Yeah.
And so when I think about bodies and weight, like if I think about his journey, I don't know him outside of this comment, but I do know about eating and I do know about gaining weight, and that oftentimes has to do with an adaptation to our environment, and we're trying to self-soothe in some way and create boundaries. So he developed that coping skill of food to help him through whatever he got through. And it worked because he got through it. But now that you're already through this thing that was hurting you or was really hard for you to move through, now you're like, okay, I want to be someone else and let go of this pattern. But that sometimes we get stuck in that spot because now the coping skill that he developed to get through that difficult thing is no longer helping him. It's hurting him now. And that happens to all of us. So like I'm in that position right now. Like I know why I started eating and now it's not helping me anymore. It's hindering me.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's really hard to let go of that person that you became in order to get through that hard thing in order to become who you want to be now. You get stuck there. So next comment is from Jessica B. She says, I love my body no matter what size it's been. I love that I'm able to change and evolve. I have been told I was fat my whole life since I was a kid. I found it alarming as a kid, seriously, that anybody had the right to comment on my body. It kind of messed me up in the head. Like, why are adults looking at me so closely? I don't know. It was everyone too, kids, older kids, parents, family, dance teachers, everyone. I found this comment to be interesting because I feel like it's multi-layered because it's clearly about her relationship with herself and that she's been able to get to a point where she really loves her body no matter what it looks like and that she's able to change and evolve. Like, that's really beautiful. But you also see this sort of juxtaposition of what she's been told from other people her whole life, that she was fat and that also that they have the right to comment on her body and how much it kind of freaked her out that people were looking at her like that. And I definitely understand that feeling for myself because that's one of the reasons that I gained weight to begin with was to stop people from looking at me or attempt to stop people from looking at me.
Well, especially her being a woman. I don't know why it gives me a really icky vibe.
Mm.
Some of it. Cause it's like, yeah, why? I don't know. I just, there's not saying that people were doing this to her, but I just feel like sometimes like minors, especially are being sexualized in certain ways where they really shouldn't be.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting. I was talking with someone about a show that they had on where they were looking at like these young kids that were online and like how many sexual predators there were. Mm-hmm. And so this woman went undercover and pretended to be like an 11-year-old girl. And she put up like pictures, made a fake profile or whatever. And it was like minutes before there were people, grown men, you know, on there that were like saying inappropriate things, asking her for pictures, all sorts of shit. 11 years old.
That's disgusting.
it's really scary in a certain way. I don't believe that that's how it always is. And I don't think everyone is that way, but it is scary to think that that's a possibility, especially, I mean, my daughter's 9 and it won't be long before she's, you know, going to be on her own social media pages and things like that. And so I think it is interesting to talk about and think about who is looking and who has the right and the ability to do it and how much access there is now.
Yeah.
To people and pictures. That's why I've always been really careful about what I post online, for not only for myself, but also for my daughter. When she was very young, I was very hesitant to put anything on there at all. And I was very selective. I don't put very much up there with her.
If I had kids, I probably would be the same way. I see all the time, even with people, like I have a Bookstagram, which is a book Instagram. Mm-hmm. And typically the topic is around books, but there's even creators there where they're like, yeah, I'm still not going to post about my family or my kids regardless, because it's just, yeah, it doesn't need to be there.
Well, and I mean, look at some of the things that have happened to you, like just even negative attention that's come from you, or like really inappropriate things that people are saying to you, and you're an adult man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, what's an 11, 12 year old girl going to do? Like, she's not going to realize.
Oh my God, it's going to make us so dated. When MySpace was around.
Hey, you would have been in my top 8. What? Oh
God. We should revisit. You had a MySpace, right?
I
think about, like, when I was really on there, I think it was like junior high to high school a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think when Facebook was getting bigger, I was more like 14, 15.
Yeah.
But even during that, there was a lot, like that was the beginning of, I guess, just more of that access slowly happening.
Yeah.
And not really seeing anyone else's stories about it publicly. So not knowing what to do about it. And it was scary and almost like life compromising at times, because it's like, yeah, what do you do with this? And people are just able to like see you and however way you post, and just like, and then figure out additional things because of that. And
I think there's a little bit more safeguards and a little bit more knowledge now than there was back then. It was sort of a free-for-all in that space, but I loved MySpace.
I liked making my background.
Right?
I thought I was like...
Oh, you could put music on it. Yes. And like, fun.
I used to put... I don't know if you remember Cascada.
Oh, I guess.
Touch. It'd be her music or Panic at the Disco. It was a weird... I was like a gay emo unicorn.
Oh my God, I love it. That's so fun. I really liked MySpace, but it was really the beginning of that sort of widespread social media.
It was very toxic too.
It certainly could be.
But at the same time, you have to ask yourself, was it the website or was it people?
And then everyone was fighting because they wanted to be in your number one position.
Oh my God. So sorry, this is a side story.
Right.
But one of her best friends in high school, or one of her friends, and myself, it got to this point where we both figured out how to get into my best friend's profile. And we would like go into her profile, and like I would go in and switch myself to number one. And her other friend would go in and switch herself to number one. And meanwhile, my friend was just like more concerned on us fighting versus like, why are multiple people going into my account?
Messing
with my information. But it's weird, like the things we care about that are so minuscule.
Totally. Well, and it's so funny because I remember listening back now. I have this like little playlist on Spotify that's like all my like throwbacks from like 90s and 2000s stuff. And it's just like the best music. I love it.
It is. I love
it. And I forget what song it is. Anybody who remembers, comment and let me know.
Well, I might know.
But the sentence in it is, you're the number one position in my top 8. And
name that song.
Take a look at my MySpace page. You're the number one position on my top 8.
No,
remember
I know
that song?
I do know that song.
Yeah.
It was a guy, right?
Yes.
Singing it?
Yes.
Oh no. I know that song.
Yes. And right? I do too, but I can't think of that's the only thing I ever really remember from it until I hear it again.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, this is a little bit of a tangent. Where were we again? But so anyway, with Jessica, you know, it is really interesting to kind of think about how, who gets to look and who gets to comment. And this was a little bit of a pattern that we sort of saw a little bit in our previous podcast when we talked about our body and who gets to comment. Why do so many people have comments about our body?
Yeah. Hmm. So this next one's a little bit on the shorter side. It comes from Michelangelo S. Thank you for your comment. He says, I hate seeing my body. I suffer from severe body dysmorphia from being 325 pounds plus for 11 years.
It's so interesting because I think a lot of people talked about body dysmorphia.
Correct. Yes. There was, at least on my profile, I saw a lot of people mention body dysmorphia.
And I think that, I don't know like the actual definition for that, but I think it's just really disliking your body or feeling like you're not in the right body or something's wrong with it. I've heard dysmorphia more around transgendered people who feel like their body doesn't match who they are, but certainly could be in this space as well.
Well, yeah, very common. I guess with it too, for like 11 years is a long time to be feeling this way.
Yeah. And, you know, we don't have a lot of context in this, but I think it kind of harkens back a little bit to Tara's comment, which is like, we have all these things we're going to pick apart. We have all these things that we look at and have this sort of like hate for our bodies. And I wish that there was a way to just make peace with our bodies and think about it in a different way. And it takes consistency. You know, one of the things I talk about is how consistency is the thing that matters the most. It's not about perfection. It's not about doing everything right. It's not about like, I have to have the exact perfect way of thinking every single day in order to make a difference. It's what you do consistently that matters. And if you think about yourself in a positive way for like, let's say you're doing, Frank is doing affirmations right now, and those are really good. But like, if let's say you do
By the way, TikTok affirmations for Frank.
Yes, you should, because they're all really good. But let's say you do like two affirmations a day, and then all the rest of the day, you are beating yourself up and saying horrible things to yourself or thinking really bad about your life. It's not that those affirmations couldn't do anything. It's not that shifting that thought process couldn't help at all. It's just the negative thought process or the negative patterns are much more consistent and persistent. It has nothing to do with truth. It's not true that your body is horrible or bad or terrible in some way, or that you have to pick yourself apart. It's all about your perspective on it and what you believe to be true. It's not the truth. The truth is that your body is miraculous. Our bodies are miraculous. The fact that we can do what we do is pretty crazy. The fact that we're even alive in this universe is miraculous. So it's all going to be dependent upon how you think about it. Now, I know that to be true for myself, but I also still have my sticky spots too, where I think, oh God, why do I have to look like this? Or what would happen? And in those moments, those are the moments where I have to choose to switch.
Well, I think it's human not to be 100% 24/7.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's very normal to have negative thoughts. And there's nothing that's going to happen in your life where you're always going to be positive all the time. That's totally unrealistic, but it's about what you do more consistently that becomes your experience of yourself.
And I used to think affirmations were silly, or that like, what's the point of meditating or anything like that, or just any of those things people might tell you to do to maybe, you know, just little practices to work on yourself besides going to therapy.
Yeah.
But yeah, it breaks. I think it does. It gives a little break on the constant negative thought process, because I've also been on that other end too, where that I know how debilitating that is, where it's like just constant and like it's all you're thinking about, it's all you're having anxiety about or you're feeling depressed about. And it just seems like it's never ending and you just will do anything to make that stop.
Totally.
So things like this, I just feel like were the beginning of, I don't know, just creating a new mindset, but mostly just like giving yourself a break to breathe.
Yeah, absolutely. And here's the other thing, as like an added bonus to this, if you say an affirmation, or you're trying to create a new thought process, you're trying to create a different perspective for yourself, if you can add an elevated emotion to it, it's going to be that much more powerful. So if you say, I love myself, I love my body, but inside you're like, that's a lie, I don't feel like that's true, that doesn't make any sense to me, you know, I don't really feel that way, or you feel sad or irritated or like in despair, you have that negative emotion inside, the affirmation or the new thought pattern is not going to do much because the feeling has to come along with it. So even if you can't say to yourself, I love myself, maybe you can pick something that you do love about yourself. So I think that my eyes are pretty. So I might say, I have beautiful eyes, and I will like close my eyes and like feel gratitude, feel joy, put myself in a position to remember something that I feel really happy about, and then say the affirmation at the same time that I'm attempting to feel gratitude and joy. That will bolster that affirmation even more.
One thing I did, I don't know how helpful this would be to everyone, or because it's the whole point of it is not to necessarily get external validation, but I think you were one of the people I asked to do this, because I asked a few of my friends to just tell me like all the things that they like valued about me. I think it was something like that.
Yeah.
And I guess I did this because there was moments in my life where I knew I was feeling like I couldn't say anything nice about myself. Mm-hmm. So then I had these messages, cut them out and put them all together so that when you are in those low moments, it's almost like a little reminder.
That's a great idea.
These are things that people see in you. Most likely these are things that are true about you.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I mentioned it in one of the past episodes. I don't remember which one, but I talked about my love list. Yes. That I kept in my phone, where anytime someone like said something kind to me or did something kind for me or showed me that they loved me in a certain way, that I would write it down. So when I was feeling sad or feeling overwhelmed or feeling really lonely or just like people didn't love me in some way, then I would read the list and I would remember all of the things that these people had done, because it was remarkably large. It was a really big list. And in those times when I felt so sad and so lonely and unloved, you don't feel like that's true. You feel like this negative feeling is your reality. And then to break out of it, you have this list that you look at and it's a reminder. So it was very similar to you, you know, you asking people, tell me what it is that you think is great about me. And they're going to tell you. They're going to tell you those things, and then you get to remember and look at that list and keep it.
Yeah.
And so anything like this is really helpful, and it can help kind of turn things around a little bit for how you feel about the space that you take up in the world. The next comment that we have is from Ashley N. She says, I love this question. So many thoughts. First, I think about my relationship to my body through a racial lens. Like, I always struggle with being different, and it wasn't necessarily about my body shape, but more about assumptions based upon my race. I'm also thinking about my upcoming surgery and my feelings about my body sustaining surgery and healing. I don't trust my body, which is ridiculous because my body has never done anything to indicate I can't trust it. So it's interesting because there's kind of two pieces to this.
Oh, that last piece was definitely, that really stands out.
Very much so. But I think it's interesting to think about our bodies through a racial lens. Now, I'm a white person.
Same.
And I don't know what it's like to be a person of color. But in my journey to try to understand how people of color feel about taking up space, particularly in our country, I've read a lot of books and I've tried to listen to the best ability that I have to what it's like, what their experience is like. And so Ashley, you know, is saying that that is something that has always kind of come up for her, that there are all of these assumptions about who she is based upon her race. And when I think about being a white person, I think about how I've never had to think about that. I've had to think about lots of other things.
Yeah.
Being a woman, being, you know, worried about my safety, different things like that. I've thought about being overweight or things like that, but I've never had to think about the color of my skin. And that in and of itself is a privilege. And I actually would love to hear more about people's experiences with this and what it's like, because the more I understand, the more compassion and understanding builds in me. And I try to pass that on to the best of my ability. Mm. And actually, Ashley is going to be on the show at some point, because she's a very accomplished, amazing therapist, social worker, woman who is incredibly educated and just the funniest, most amazing person. Love her. And we're going to talk a lot about what that looks like, decolonizing sex and relations and things like that. So it's going to be really interesting. The second piece where she talks about not trusting her body.
Yeah, I feel like I have felt that way, even though, and I feel like she also made a good counterpoint to why do we feel that way if it hasn't really done anything to us. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting how much our relationship with our body is impacted by what other people think about our body, what our society says about our bodies. It's amazing how much it can be taken in and it becomes our experience of it. So like Sonia Renee Taylor said, you know, you've never seen a self-loathing toddler. You know what I mean? These are things that we learn. And so you learn, like, if my body looks like this, it's not as valued unless it looks like this other way. And
well, and I remember too, what was mentioned on the original episode was that those images that we're even trusting weren't even accurate images of those people. Mm-hmm.
Those things are kind of lies. And it's not that it's also art, you know, you can change things and mold things, but when it's sold to you as this is how you should look, this is how this person looks.
Yeah, buy this product to look like this.
Yes, because it is very, I mean, I don't know if the beauty industry is trillions of dollars at this point, but it's definitely multi-billions, multiple billions of dollars in the beauty industry. And there's a reason for it, because it sells. Us not liking the way that we look is very lucrative. And so it would make sense to me that if you feel like your body isn't showing up for you in the way that you should, or it doesn't look the way that you think it should, then maybe you couldn't trust it. It's a really interesting comment. And I have felt that way about my body too, at certain times.
And that explains too why a lot of people don't feel self-love either if they can't trust their bodies.
Oh, absolutely. I know a lot of people too with a lot of pain, like if they have autoimmune diseases or, you know, something that has gone wrong in their body, quote unquote wrong, that sometimes you can feel like your body's against you and that it's your enemy, it's working against you. And so that could create a certain level of distrust as well.
So this next one is now on the longer side, just a warning, but it is from Ashley C. Thank you so much. Love Ashley. She's a good friend
two of Ashleys.
Many years. I know. Yay, two Ashleys in a row. Ashleys are the best. So she says, I've constantly battled with my body image. In high school, I always thought I was fat, so I always wore more layers. People would always make fun of me, and I just never understood why. I believed them, but looking back, I absolutely was not. After I had my daughter, my weight started fluctuating. Depression from a crappy relationship and never feeling like I could be enough, never receiving reassurance from that partner took its toll. Dumped that weight as well. I started losing weight when it ended. I felt good, happy with how I looked. I received compliments then on all my effort. I didn't know it at the time, but I had an autoimmune disease. Hashimoto's, to be exact. And the thyroid is no joke. Controls your metabolism. Prior to diagnosis, I met someone who was so reassuring, and he continues to do so to this day. I got on meds and was okay. They upped them again, and I quickly gained so much weight. I feel horrible, and I don't like how I look anymore. My boyfriend is amazing and tells me I'm beautiful no matter what, but my head just tells me how disgusting I look and feel. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to get better about it, all, but I want to be healthy. It feels like I'm stuck in a rut. It's my fault. I haven't put in the effort to take care of my body, but I'm going to work on it because I am over it. However, I know a lot of the time people who lose weight have to heal their mind as well, because body dysmorphia is no joke. It doesn't leave when the weight does. Oh, beautifully said.
Right. Well, boy, maybe she wants to be on the podcast. I feel like she has a lot of good self-reflection.
Yes.
So I think that's...
But also that was, I mean, at least from what I know a little bit, or just like looking at it, it definitely was probably a lot of time that this whole journey was that it took. Like this definitely isn't just like in a year or something.
Yeah.
This would be, yeah.
Well, and you could see how it kind of harkens back to the other Ashley's comment about not trusting her body, and now having this autoimmune disorder, and it messes with your thyroid and throws off your hormone levels and all sorts of things. And it can cause a lot of trouble, have that sort of negative connotation with your body.
Well, and then, yeah, there was points where she mentioned the crappy relationship. Mm-hmm. And I kind of saw some of that during my time. I also understood when she was talking about how you can, even when you have a good partner that's telling you all the right things, sometimes mm-hmm. your mind is still telling you no. I've been through that personally, especially with some of my more recent weight gain, that it's like I could be told I'm beautiful in this and it's nice. And then at the same time, there's still like that little piece that's like, but my mind's telling me this, that I feel that way, and it doesn't match up with what he's saying. And it kind of just, I guess, reflects back onto the other things we were saying, where, you know, we see one image and then everyone else sees another.
Absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we started the podcast, or our very first episode, about self-love, because it really does start with you.
Yeah.
I talk about this all the time with my clients, and I think about it a lot for myself, is if you don't love yourself or find value in yourself, it's going to be really hard for you to take in anything from someone else. Because if you think about it this way, if you truly believe that you are unlovable for whatever reason, right? So let's say we're talking about our body, and, you know, Ashley is talking about her weight fluctuating up and down, and how she feels like because she's overweight that, you know, she's disgusting in her worlds, her words, right? So if you truly believe that you are not lovable because you're disgusting, like if you really believe that, and then your significant other comes to you and says, I love you at any size. I think you look beautiful. I think you look amazing. I think you're sexy. I'm attracted to you. You're not going to believe it.
Yeah.
So you're going to generally think one of two things. One, they're lying to me, not to be mean, but out of obligation. What else are they going to say? They're going to tell me I look like crap? No, of course they're not going to say that. So they're not telling me the truth. They're just saying it out of obligation because they love me to be kind to me, but they're not really telling me the truth. They also think I'm disgusting, but they're not telling me the truth. Or two, people tend to think, oh, they're doing it for, because they want something. Mm-hmm. So it could just be they don't want to have a fight. They don't want, you know, they want to take advantage of me for some reason. You don't have the ability to fully take it in because you don't believe it yourself. That's like, I accept the love I think I deserve type thing. And if you really don't believe that about yourself, that I could potentially be lovable even when I'm overweight or underweight, or I look a certain way, or there's something wrong with me, or I'm sick or whatever. If you don't feel like you're lovable in that way, it's going to be very hard, if not impossible, for you to truly feel this other person sees you in that positive light. You might think, well, they love me because I have a good personality, or they love me because we've been together for a long time, or because I'm the mother of their child, or whatever. You might think that, but you're not going to be like, you love me because I have this body, because we have that negative thought process around it. Which is hard to move past. It definitely starts with you, though.
Yeah.
Our beliefs indicate so much of our life and the choices that we make.
Yeah. My message to Ashley is that your boyfriend, I think, is telling the truth, and that you are beautiful no matter what. And that, to me, it definitely speaks what I call deep love. So love that goes deeper than the skin, and that people who can see your true value at the end of the day, because I mean, our looks do go over time, you know, where it's like, we're not going to always look 20. So I just feel like, yeah, I feel like the self-work is really important, but that regardless of even that, even how you are right in this exact moment, or even in moments where you feel disgusting, that you are still this amazing, powerful, strong woman. You've been through a lot of things during your lifetime so far, and you've been able to overcome all of them. And that is like one of the most beautiful things that a person could be.
Yeah. And at the very least, like, your value is not about what you look like.
Yes.
Your value is not in the shape of your body. It's just not, or what the numbers on a scale say. We're so much more than that. We're so much more than that. We have to stop thinking about ourselves as our value measured in pounds or cellulite or not having cellulite or roles or whatever. Like, there's so much more to us than that.
Agree. So next we have Patricia R. Hey, Patty, thank you for your comment. She says, well, my nickname in school growing up was Fatty Patty. It took a long time to love myself and get to a better mental state about what I see. I don't think I'll ever love it, but I am proud of my body.
I love that. Can I tell you, I feel like my emotions fluctuate so much reading these comments, because I vacillate between like wanting to like love and hug someone to wanting to like punch other people in the face. I can't, like, people are so mean. Why? Just why? And I could come up with a lot of different reasons, but it's just, why are we so mean to each other? It's part of the process of growing up is like, is that a thing? I have to think about that. Maybe we should be doing an episode on bullying.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different reasons. Like, they're usually the people doing the bullying are going through their own struggles or like their own home life, not like trying to excuse it or anything, but there's definitely some sort of like projection going on.
Yeah. I think the biggest problem that I have around that type of thing is less that it happens, because I don't think you can ever eradicate people not transporting their pain out onto other people. Like, I think that will probably always happen, but instead the responses from the people who are supposed to be mature, who are in line to, and are in some form of authority, like, what is the responses from that space and for, you know, parents and teachers and things like that? Because that, I think, is where the transformation can happen, because their kids learn from us. They just do.
And I'm hearing, I mean, you would know more because you have a kid in school, but I'm hearing that there still needs to be some work in the school system when it comes to dealing with that issue.
I'm really fortunate because my daughter's in a really, really small school.
Okay.
And everybody kind of knows everybody. And it's just been a really wonderful transition. But in the school she was in previously, you know, there were issues, you know, with kids fighting and things like that. And it's tough, you know, when I'm like first and second grade, you're like, okay, like, I'm pretty sure you can handle these kids. I don't know. But yeah, it's tough. But it sounds like Patty was able to find some solace in there, and that she was able to grow from that experience. And sometimes I believe that we go through hard things in order for life to kind of break us open, because in that space, that's where the light comes in. And also that light is what we pass on to others. It allows us to help other people and create really deep love and compassion. And so when we see other people in pain, we just want to help them.
Exactly.
I often find that people who help the most are the people who were hurt the most.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
So we have one more.
Yeah.
And it is from Drew B. Thank you for your comment. He says, I was skinny as a pole until puberty, when I literally doubled in weight in about 3 months.
Wow.
I was 280 pounds in 2013 and suffered pretty horrific medical discrimination for my weight. They wouldn't even diagnose things because they were too focused on my weight. I was refused painkillers because of it, told my anxiety disorder was caused by it, and they refused to investigate a GI issue and told me just eat less. not to mention the societal crap fat people get thrown at them. I then shrunk to 150 in 2020, and now I'm about 200 again. I have a lot of not very nice feelings about my body.
See, that's what I'm saying. I want to punch someone again. And this time it's a doctor.
No, I'm not gonna, low key, I don't have the best relationships with doctors because of the whole, like, I don't know. It feels like there's such a huge focus on the number and not the process of getting to said number. Because when I was going through my eating disorder stuff, they were just happy that I was a low weight, but they didn't realize what I was putting my body through.
Yeah. And I get it. Does having a lot of extra weight in our body impact our health?
Yes.
Right? I don't think anybody would really argue with that if you're, you know, significantly overweight, that it can impact your physical health. But that doesn't matter if a person is in pain or having a hard time. In my opinion, even if you know that something is directly related to weight, like diabetes or high blood pressure, and that those things could be helped by losing weight, losing weight takes time.
Yes.
It's not like I can turn around tomorrow and be 150 pounds. Right. Like, it's not like I can go from where I'm at to 150 pounds in a day. Like, I can't do that. So why not help me with the symptoms that I have right now while I also change on a journey? Now, that being said, if I had to play devil's advocate for a second, it would be human beings tend to avoid things that are hard or painful. It's just part of our sort of natural process of why we do what we do. And so I would assume that many doctors see people who are overweight and say, you really need to lose weight in order to make this better. And so maybe their thought is, if I give you this to deal with the symptoms, then you're not going to want to lose weight because you're not going to have the symptoms that are negative anymore. So I get that, but I think there could be a very different way of handling things. And I'm really sorry that he had to go through that.
Well, I just feel like it's not hard to just take a minute to listen to what someone has to say instead of just, you know.
I think there's not a lot of compassion either.
No.
And, you know, being someone who has struggled with weight for a good portion of my life, I can say that I feel bad about it. I have a lot of internalized shame around it that I've had to work really hard to move through. And people who are generally overweight have a lot of shame. And you shaming them is not going to help them lose weight. That's not going to make them feel inspired and be like, oh, my doctor gave me a hard time, so I'm going to go home and lose weight. No, they're going to go home and eat. Because you already, whatever you're going to say to me, I have in spades already. Mm-hmm. There's nothing you're going to tell me about my weight that I don't already know and have not thought about a million times over. There's nothing you're going to tell me. So instead, maybe ask questions about why I'm overweight. Just like if we take weight out of it and think about a different type of addiction. If we think about drinking, you know, can drinking too much alcohol cause problems in your body? Yes. We all know it, right? 100% it can. But do you just say to somebody who's an alcoholic, do you just stop drinking? No, you can't. You can't say that because they're drinking for a reason.
Yeah.
And actually, nobody should ever just quit drinking because it's actually dangerous. You could die. But like, you can't say that. If they could just stop drinking, they probably just would. And they've probably thought about it a million times. So maybe try to understand and have some compassion for why this is happening anyway. It doesn't mean that they don't have to stop drinking. It doesn't mean that you don't need to lose weight. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't stop going have random sex with people. Like you probably should stop doing those things, certainly. But it's filling a need that we can't fill otherwise.
Yeah, I think
at least for now.
Personally, I think more people should be trained in mental work and like learn a little bit of psychology along with
the Western medicine sort of framework for healthcare is very much like you go to this person for this thing, this person for this thing, this person for this thing, this guy does hearts, this guy does livers, this guy does kidneys, this guy does mental health, and you go like a different place everywhere, but we're not all chopped up into a bunch of little pieces.
Yeah.
We're all one thing. And in my opinion, working in healthcare for as long as I have, every single person that you meet is a mental health patient. Mm-hmm. Because they have emotions, they have fears, they have a mental component that matches everything that's happening physically. Yes. You can't separate your mind and body. Those two things are connected.
Well, even in the doctor's office, even they'll, you know, slip you the, what is it, like the depression scale or like that piece of paper like the survey or something.
Yeah, we had to do that. They started doing that in the hospital when I was working in the psychiatric unit. You know, we started looking at depression. And I get it. And I mean, I do have some compassion for the doctors too, because they have like 15 minutes to see people. They have to see 4 people an hour. They're push, 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 get through. There's not enough doctors. It takes you 100 years to get an appointment, especially if you don't have a PCP. The insurance companies aren't paying. Like, you have all of these things. You're just trying to figure it out. You have all of these things that you have to get done and have to do. So it's not easy. Being a doctor is not easy. But if you want to be a doctor, first do no harm.
Yeah.
You know, you have to take that moment and have some compassion. I really hope that he was able to get some help. It sounds like he feels like he needs to still work on the mental component, which we talked about before. And I certainly get it. Both things have to be done together. Mm-hmm. So I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who was vulnerable and courageous and shared their story. And I love the fact that you're willing to talk about these things in the real world, because sometimes we keep a lot of this stuff in our head, ruminating over and over. So I'm so appreciative. And thank you, Frank, for talking about this.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Really important topic for both of us. You know, it's been a big part of our lives. And I can't wait to come back again and talk about other things.
Definitely.
So thank you very much. We'll see you next week for one of our regularly scheduled episodes. Thanks so much. Be well.
If you want to share your experience, write a comment or contact us on Instagram at RelationFixPod or email us at RelationFixPodcast@gmail.com and tell us about it. All this information will be available in the show notes as well. If you like this episode, don't forget to leave a review, subscribe, and share it with your loved ones.